The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
So the worst part about this year, though, is the fact that time is a flat circle and nothing actually is what it actually is. 6 months ago could have been last week. Nothing makes sense.
You're getting really philosophical.
Honestly, I do understand what you're saying, but I really think it depends on how this year affected your life. Like, if for people that that weren't like deemed as essential employees and had to work from home,
sure,
I could see the days getting lost easily. But for people that nothing really changed besides them having to add their PPE and do the CDC guidelines,
yeah,
it helps you keep a little bit more structure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I kept track of days is because I literally write the date on titles every day that I work.
But additionally, yeah, I think even if you are an essential worker and you've been going to work on a regular basis, the fact that events have been canceled.
We don't need to fucking talk about events being canceled.
We won't get into that too much, but without having those events to being, when was the last show that I went to? That was 2 months ago kind of conversation isn't able to happen because the shows haven't. So those little pegs in the board that remind you of the passage of time have disappeared.
Right. I got you.
And
no,
makes it a little more difficult to realize, like, was that last month? No, that was in January.
Our little bookmarks are gone.
They're gone.
Very much so.
It's true. Now, my new bookmarks are what plants I bought.
Now, that is a good point. Has anybody picked up new hobbies or gotten into other stuff that has kept them preoccupied while not being able to go out as much?
My children just got older and way more independent, and I don't like it.
They talk so much more than they used to.
Right?
It's almost like they're getting older.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, it's weird.
Right?
I don't think I've picked up a hobby per se, but I've definitely made sure that my home environment is more comfortable. Like, we just got a new couch.
Yes.
Made sure that the house is the way that we want it to be so that when we are home and we're home a lot, we're comfortable here. You know, it's got all the stuff. I know that, Lowdown, you just moved, so you're in the process of getting everything put where it's supposed to be.
Reprocessing.
But yeah, I mean, I agree, hobby. Like, I mean, regardless of pandemic or not, I think that is something that it was reinforced to people that is important. It's like, the home should always be that level, right? I mean, you should it should always be the place where, above all else, it's comfortable. And I think that with people having to work at home, some people having to work at home, and it's slowing down people's, like, social life, they've re-engaged and understood that now. Like, my home could be way more comfortable.
Like, my office that was deemed for maybe I would use it 3 days a year for work.
You mean your room with piles of books?
Books, toys, posters.
Please tell me you've done something of that within the last 8 months.
Oh, no. Like,
that's just your
office
space?
His office is literally Monica's closet from Friends.
Yeah.
And then he just puts the chair in there, and that's where he lives.
Basically. But again, fortunately, with the extra time, we've been able to revamp the house. There's a lot more. Like, Hobbit has been there. You haven't been there since we've done nearly
enough. I've seen some pictures, though. I told you I saw some differences.
But the office, there is definitely way more space. I just need a better chair.
Your living
chair
room, too, seems roomier than it used to.
Oh, yeah. The furniture's been rearranged. And it's amazing what can happen when you're not working. Like, I say this for my wife, when you're not working 50 hours a week.
Yeah.
And you're actually able to be home to help take care of the house. Like, I'm a man. I can take care of the house. But still, it helps for two.
Well, it's a partner thing. It's better than one.
That's what I'm getting at,
Well, I mean, it's been a little weird for me because all of a sudden I don't have burlesque. And so I'm like, I have time?
Right.
Yeah. There are evenings where I'm not naked in front of people. Should I just stand in front of the window and hold a plant in front of my boobs fancifully?
Because
that's been
correct.
Well,
you should.
Look, normally all they see is me naked struggling with the laundry, not knowing how to fucking get tights out of there.
I'm down for either one, honestly, right?
It's just been
that's a little bit of naked laundry rustling between friends. Like, that's totally fine.
Oh, that's a hell of a visual, but I'm not going to knock it.
So, like, leggings, tug of war, naked?
Actually, I have a whole burlesque act where it's me deciding, fuck doing laundry, and I put clothespins all over my face and body and wiggle them to the Barber of Seville.
That's going to be your photo in the GUI calendar.
I can send you a picture of clothespins all over my face. It's not a joke.
I'm not going to be...
I will. They're rhinestones.
Instead of pinhead, it's clothespin head.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's less derogatory.
Stop.
It's me.
You did that.
You did it. Yeah. You started off
you
with
just
the
did.
Pun. I'm proud
of
you.
Oh, God.
You coming back.
Oh,
but yeah,
man.
It's been tattoos, horror movies, and plants.
That pun sums up 2020.
Yeah, right.
Clothespin head.
Right.
And I'm also we are going to be talking about 2020 on this episode. You know, one of the things that the network has dealt with is the lack of live events. We had a lot of plans for our 5-year anniversary this year, for our 200th episode.
Shows had things they planned to try to do.
Different shows had all sorts of curated movie nights or live recordings, all sorts of stuff that we weren't able to do during 2020. And it sucks, but there is the dimmest of light at the end of the tunnel right now.
And it's still giving us a finger.
This isn't going to be all focused on the negative of 2020. We're going to be also talking about how people adapted in 2020 to use technology to stay in touch with each other, to deliver entertainment to everyone, how we adjusted as a network in 2020. We're going to talk about the negative, but I think more lean towards the positive of things that how people dealt with adversity in 2020 on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. This is the last numbered episode of the year. Coming into Christmas, we always take a couple weeks off around the holidays, so we have a chance to just kind of reset and relax and enjoy all the craziness that is the holidays, which I'm sure we'll talk about how that's going to be different this year for some people.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, just this is a retrospective, I guess, on 2020 for this episode. And a look to the future to talk about all the things we're excited about in 2021 besides the vaccine, which is definitely top of the list.
Sure.
Well, welcome to episode 201 of Geeks Under the Influence.
Buildings that were and shall be again. A changing of the guard. The deadites marching in. You think you can hold out, but you
hey, know this is Mike Henry from Family Guy.
And you're listening to Geeks Under the Influence. Yay!
Yay!
No,
yeah, a big thing that Mike Henry put out was
awesome. What I wanted to say was, you realize that even when it comes out, they're talking like summer to fall before it gets to average people.
Oh yeah, no,
because
100%.
The health workers,
well,
nursing homes,
first response,
every first line,
all
first
that.
Line people yeah. were getting it first, and
oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm actually happy about that because I want to see how it affects them because this is the quickest we've ever done it and it really freaks the fuck out of me.
I mean,
I really hope that the rollout of the vaccine doesn't happen like PlayStation 5 where the first rollout, there needs to be some like downloads that happens before it works effectively.
No.
Like, I really hope that nobody gets the red ring of death on this one.
We don't need a fucking DLC for a vaccine.
That's
right?
Really, honestly, that's really what I'm worried about. Like, we've all had vaccines. We grew up with vaccines. There's things you needed to take to you know, go to school. It was you legally had to take those if you wanted to go to like public school settings, stuff like that. I know anti-vaxxers are fighting that, but whatever. Anyway, this is the quickest in history we've ever released a vaccine, and that scares the shit out of me.
That's fair. I think that's more than reasonable.
Well, and I don't want this panel to devolve into people without a medical license discussing how good or bad the vaccine's going to be.
Are you sure? Because that sounds like a great plan.
I don't think it's just that. I think it's just the average person that is going to be taking this.
Sure.
Like, just showing that there is concern amongst
I think that's incredibly fair to have concerns about it. That's why it's important to, you know, pay attention to the CDC and all the medical information that's coming out about it.
Absolutely.
There's all the talking heads. They're going to put their own spin on it. I'm much more in line with paying attention to the people making the stuff.
So we should go to Parlor to get Parlor. All our information and just...
All right, let's not do that.
What we should do is introduce the panel of high-ranking scientists on this episode.
Yes.
That have all the information.
Doctor.
To my left, the Dr. Spock of the modern era.
Ooh.
Oh, God, no.
Live long and prosper,
no, not that Dr. Spock, the one with the
babies.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Not the hand thing,
that.
The like, it's not the kid to spank your
that.
Kids guy.
Yeah, I got you.
I mean, it's still technically a hand thing, but...
Yeah.
The ultimate shocker?
I didn't get spanked enough as a kid, which is why... Never mind.
Whoa.
I'll
have a talk with Amy when she gets home.
That's fine. I'm open. I have no shame.
We know.
A gentleman that is the forefather of child rearing on the GUI network, the geek father himself, Mr. Scotty P. is here.
Hey.
What's
happening?
This is two in a row for you.
I know. It's weird. Like, I actually have time to do stuff during quarantine.
What's going to be great is as your kids get older, you're going to have even more free time as things progress.
No, they will always be my babies. Don't you ever say that.
So I don't know if it'll be the same as with his children as is for me, but at a certain point, you're going to have a lot more out after school running around to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When it's not crazy.
Yeah. Right.
Like, right in the world right now.
Soccer dad or hockey dad?
Or football dad.
Or football
baseball
dad.
Baseball dad.
I mean,
dad.
I'll
debate team.
I'll take all the above. You know, depending on what the kids are into.
But I'm just saying, like, there's definitely a lot more after hours activity the older they get.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any, like, kid rugby leads? Because as big and as hard as his head is, he can headbutt like a motherfucker.
I mean, I would hope so.
You sounded like a balloon releasing air with that question.
Because that head scares me, because all it takes is one headbutt and your nose is broken and possibly jammed up into your brain.
How do you think your parents felt your whole childhood?
Mine progressed a lot slower than Logan's did.
Bonk's adventure looking motherfucker. Yeah, hey.
God damn it.
Wow.
Oh, shit. He's on fire.
Wow.
That was good.
Some TurboGrafx reference.
See, it took a whole year of him slipping on the dad jokes and me taking over for him to come up with one thing.
He's had a couple other like really good ones in some episodes.
We'll see about that.
You must not listen though. He's had some really good ones.
Don't make my head as big as Scotty's.
Genetics. You know what? Again, I will just give praise to my wife for bearing down and
like literally bearing down.
Literally bearing down. Oh. So, yes, I love my wife. I love her.
The ability to headbutt well is a gift, Scotty.
It is. Have you not seen this Cro-Magnon shield?
Not feel the
that's my special move.
Did you not feel the dents in my forehead? No, I came up with your special move. What you do is like, so it's different than your, like your range attack is where you grab your children and you bowl them at the other fighters because their heads are so hard.
Oh, so it's like nice. X-Men Age of Apocalypse with Sabretooth and Wild Child.
Sort of, but I was just thinking like all of the Smash Brothers finishing moves.
And the sorting hat of geek special moves here.
That's good information. People need to know.
It's true. In case you meet us in a dark alley, a bunch of nerds yelling about X-Men, you need to know what to be prepared for.
Right, and all the guests are fucking special trophies or Pokemon, and we pop in and we're like, this is demeaning. Yeah.
The one bestowing all these special powers upon us is a entertainer, comedian, burlesque performer, extraordinaire.
Jackass.
Professional jackass.
Yes. Jackass.
We've got Murphy Lawless here.
Hi, friends.
Hi.
I kept my pants on today because it's cold.
It is cold,
It is a slight bit chilly out there.
It's a little nibbly.
It's slowly going away from that weird Virginia weather where it's like 80 degrees one day and 50. It's still doing that, but it's slowly eking towards the cold.
That's right. It's pretending it might be winter at this point.
Yeah,
but
right.
Honestly, it's not just Virginia. Unless you're like above New York, it's just climate change. And we're fucking, I don't know why, if it's because we're right in the middle, we're fucking stupid.
I mean,
our weather's fucking stupid.
I mean, it is, but actually, I'm giggling at that because I just listened to your fucking episode on the Chopping Block about Krampus, and I'm like, yeah, that's right. They mentioned that in Krampus. what the inner voice sounds like.
We actually mentioned climate change on Deeply Upsetting. We discussed that Santa would definitely be Green Party because. He lives in the North Pole. There's no ground underneath him.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
He needs the snow.
I'm not moving to Antarctica, motherfuckers. The thing has that.
It's just like a little hut and then just his house, and he's like in front of it with a shotgun being like, just.
Are you describing Santa as a libertarian?
I mean, hey, you know.
The amount of free presents he gives out, he's not a libertarian.
No fair.
That's true.
All right, that's legit.
Gives them out if you're good, so you have to earn them.
Tax break,
yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
Charitable donations.
Santa gives out presents to those that are good, so you have to earn the presents by being good.
Look,
that is not free.
I am good at it, but I am not good. When we were watching Krampus, I was sitting there and... a second later realized that this was my out loud voice when I went, yes, take the fat one. And my partner was like, I think you might be Krampus.
Yeah, speaking of the person that is the Krampus of the network, is our next one up that punishes the wicked.
An ancient deity.
With his powerful headbutts.
And apparently my giant yell.
Your rage and disapproval and ugly.
Corpse Grinder,
look,
Chris
man.
Barnes.
Yeah.
We've got Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's going on, everyone? Final episode of the year. I'm glad that we got to get back on track the last like 5 months of the year because there was a giant gap where everything just sucked massive asshole.
And adjustment into doing things a different way and then dealing with like internet issues and
just the having to do it different ways because I feel like everyone adapted that easily. It was just the issues that came with that because now you're just doing so many small behind the scenes shit.
Having to deal with the logistics. All of us doing like Zoom for some of those earlier episodes after the pandemic started was fine, but it was like, I had to technically up my router because apparently my old router wasn't good enough.
It sucked horribly. It was bad.
Yeah, it was.
But no, I'm glad we were able to give you a good end of the year run of solid releases, because we miss doing this for everyone. So the man who got me into this whole fucking thing in the first place, gave me the passion, lit the fire. Don't be sorry, man. It's a good thing. And also, the whole ass thing, I guess, comes into play.
Yeah.
yeah, you guys do have ass play.
Smack my pitch up. And the founder of Geeks on the Influence, and the man who deemed me his partner in crime with Geeks on the Influence, we got Mike the Hobbit Bickett.
That's me.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I am Mike the Hobbit Bickett, the founder of this tire fire of a network, which I am very proud of, and proud of everybody that has a show where it regularly is featured on the shows on this network.
I think we did deem it a dumpster fire last episode.
Dumpster fire.
I never want it not to be have that in it. Like, I don't want, I would never want this to just be like completely smooth and non-challenging.
You gotta think about it like a burlesque act. You don't need to just have one thing. The dumpster fire reveal can be your bottom reveal. The tire fires can be the up top reveal. There's room for everything in the realm of nudity and fuckery.
And I feel it's much like a band that their first albums or so are like really raw. They're not as good of musicians as they end up being on later records, but the rawness of it is what is appreciated.
Sure.
That's kind of with GUI, is that we need to have that fuckery a little bit involved in our episodes, because that's where a lot of this was founded. I mean, when we were doing 2-hour, 6-person episodes.
Oh, God.
And we were drinking way more.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
we're shit-faced.
Right. Then that we need to have at least some element of that in our recordings to still have it be a GUI.
Exactly. I agree.
I mean, good to know my role wouldn't change, because I'd still be the jackass yelling, "Yeah, love you guys," and texting and messaging you shit and then fucking everything else up. So one of the things that I've discovered this year through like having the extra time to get into more podcasts and like listen to more things on Zoom and YouTube is that like celebrities are now discovering these words. Like I started listening to the podcast that was started because I finally had the time because of COVID. That's from the guys that were in Scrubs, Zach Braff and Donald Faison. They have a podcast called Fake Doctors, Real Friends. Oh. It's so fucking funny. They get guests on and they're rewatching the series for like the first time since they first aired the episodes. And it's great, but it's like there's a lot of moments where fucking Zach Braff is like, "Now explain this to me, Donald." Donald's like, "Okay, see what it is."
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I love Scrubs so much. That makes my heart so happy.
Yeah, you have seen a lot of entertainers and creators wanting to find an outlet because film production is shut down, TV shows sets have shut down, and the real entertainers are creators. They want to constantly be making something. So you've got radio personalities and comedians and actors and performers all jumping on the internet and trying to find something to do to like entertain people to stay busy.
All these fucking great cast reunions.
Right. Oh, amazing reunions.
The cast reunions. But I was even going to say also the bands.
Oh, yeah.
For just that little taste of, and Dropkick Murphys was one of the first bands to do it.
One of the first ones, and everyone like
did it for free. Where they put on a performance, they knew they had no crowd in front of them.
St. Patty's Day.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, their annual St. Patty's Day show. That's right, because that's literally when everything first began.
It felt weird.
Yeah.
It did.
I couldn't imagine playing in front of nobody.
It was weird. I'm in the Red Sox stadium, like, talking to Bruce Springsteen, who's on the big screen, that's, like, doing a song with them remotely. It was very strange.
It's fucking weird. Like,
having those connection moments are fucking rad.
Because a lot of the bands get their energy from the crowd during those live shows.
Well, especially in our line of, we were talking to Jocky Murphy, in our line of music, it's definitely crowd-based, right?
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Not this poppy bullshit off to the side where they're just going to play whatever.
Right.
No, but I mean, we listen to low, you know, more low under the
I mean, I wouldn't call Dropkick Murphys under the table anymore.
They're not, but they still have a
lot of people don't know they're not technically mainstream either.
They're not mainstream.
So,
that's what I'm saying. Like a lot of bands, a lot of bands do.
You're not going to hear like that was Ariana Grande up next with their new single Dropkick Murphys.
I disagree because Shipping Up to Boston.
That was good.
Shipping Up to Boston was definitely one of those hits.
You know,
that brought them into
The Departed.
I hate
that was because of The Departed though.
It is, but it was one of the big shifts in going to their shows where I noticed the change between. You know, I'm going to say it, largely skinheads, non-racist or not, you know, and all of a sudden the fucking yacht rock crew showing up being like, why did I just get headbutted by this angry femme?
I think Habba kind of opened it up with naming all the different things that have changed so we can kind of bounce into some other stuff too, is like you talked about like Hollywood shutting down and right. the way they had to adapt to opening back up and filming yeah. things. Like there's a lot of shows that ended up putting stuff out. It was just delayed, like The Walking Dead. The second half of this of season 10 got pushed back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But also like Supernatural was their final season.
Yep.
That got delayed 6 months, you know. Yeah, but if God. You look at if you watch it, I mean, there's some good editing going on. But if sure. you watch it, you can tell how they altered filming to
how things compliment. Changed. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
It's nothing negative. It's just if you're a fan of the show and you're watching this from the beginning, you can really see little nuances. How they kind of
yeah.
had to change how they approached, you know, proximity. Well,
and what I appreciate is about the shows that are continuing. Like you say, Supernatural had ended, so it was easy enough to end the season. They finished what they were filming.
Mm-hmm.
But the shows that are continuing on. At least have the respect of what we've been dealing with this past year, where you see on new episodes of current shows, people are wearing masks. They're doing mm-hmm. certain things on what is considered distancing properly.
Mm.
You know, wearing the mask in certain areas, certain situations. Hollywood is probably one of the only compliments I'll truly give Hollywood is that they're aware of what's going on and they're adapting to what at least they had in their lap at the time.
I mean, that's true, and it is nice to see them taking care of each other for once, because I feel like Hollywood is at odds with each of its levels for so much, and this was sure. a moment where everyone was like, okay, we got to not fuck this up. But one of the things that I've really been able to revel in a little bit is actually having the time to go back and absorb a bunch of the things I missed, because all of a sudden, I do have time. And so I've had a bunch of time to go back and watch all these things that y'all have been recommending to me and checking stuff out, and a lot of these classic things that I was interested when it came out, but like, for instance, with a lot of horror stuff, Steven, like, I had a ton of fucking nightmares to get. Like, we talked about fucking night terrors. And now, like, I can just binge that shit and then be like, I'm not sleeping ever again. and then on the other side, like, I wanted to ask y'all, because I, unfortunately, like, I'm really bad about staying up on news. So I tend to find out about, like, cast reunions and stuff after the fact. But, like, people being forced to find other means of communication and other ways of being close has been an interesting motivator in forming reunions. Like, I got to see family from New York that I haven't seen in maybe 10 years because of Zoom. And because of doing and because of doing things like Rosh Hashanah over, you know, the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful. And a lot of other casts, like, that was one of the things that I've heard, like, on Postmortem and, you know, Fake Doctors Who Have Friends and shit like that, where they're talking about all these like over Zoom reunions where they're like, you know, I wish we were in the same space, but fuck, it's good to hear your voice and see your face, man.
Yeah.
Basically, the technology has technically been there. I won't say always has been there, but what this year has basically forced upon us in a way is that it is there for us to be able to use, like,
create a problem.
Zoom could have been used over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to do a family reunion, and granted, you know, because I'm the same way, but also what an option that's always been there for being geek father is that there was the kid messenger thing where kids were able to still interact with other kids, you know, where parents could still monitor what they're doing. But that kid messenger really got pumped up because obviously kids are not able to go to the park, go have parties and do stuff like that they've been able to do in a quote-unquote normal year.
Have you guys gotten to witness any of the reunions? Like, I know Rocky Horror Picture Show did one.
Rocky Horror Picture Show did one.
And a bunch of the
Friends did one.
Yeah.
Community.
Community
did one.
Yeah. Supernatural and The Office, I think, both did one.
Well, Supernatural, theirs was like not really a reunion. It was like they were just showing the Zoom chat between the ending. And then Metallica did one with Jose Mangan because they released S&M 2. So you have seen that more. And you're right, Zoom has always been around. It's just businesses use that. So for, you know, international calls or just, you know, across the country or maybe just out of the state, what it brought was just it showed that there's a free version that people can actually use to talk to people that are like, oh, well, I don't see them unless I go visit for Christmas or the birthday or I drive, yada, yada. It's like, no, you can see them whenever the fuck you want.
Right.
You just need to download.
But there's also sometimes there hasn't been an actual need like the way this past year.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a matter of showing
people
need.
I think moving forward, we're going to see a lot more people always keeping in touch more frequently with other people.
Hobbit's done a ton of improvising this year, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what actually has been interesting seeing how people have been dealing with the change and need for technology with this year and with social distancing and things being shut down, that it's almost like YouTube and a lot of the websites like that equalized when they first came out, where you've got celebrities that don't know how to use a fucking microphone that are coming out with stuff. And you know what? I'm not going to actually shit on them because they're actually trying to create content. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have gotten better as time has progressed, have gotten better equipment, or just figured it out as they went along with the rest of us. Celebrities are just normal fucking people that have sometimes the same skill sets as we do. So they're figuring it out, but they're put some like realness to that situation that you've got some kid that's 14 in his bedroom that has a better setup than, you know, than some 30 years in the industry celebrity that doesn't know what they're doing. Right. And then you're just, well, that's just fucking kids anyway. Because kids are just better at all of this technology stuff than all of us are. Oh, but I do love that it's kind of equalizing to a degree where you've got celebrities and independent, like non-celebrity people that are able to create content and compete in a on the internet at an equal level. You've got cool stuff like Josh Gad's Reunited Together that he did, where he brought back old reunions of like Back to the Future
and
Ghostbusters and like all these classic mostly 80s TV or movies, and got their casts back together, which was incredible, and those are great. But then you've got YouTube channels that have been around for forever that are just getting more traffic than they ever have before, because people are paying attention, because more people are creating content. There's more podcasts now this year that have been released than any year previous to.
Absolutely.
This year in June, it broke 1 million active podcasts on Apple Podcasts.
Holy fuckballs.
1 million.
Wow.
That's so stupid.
People are starting shows all the time because, you know, everybody's got that thing. If it's not podcasting, it's fucking underwater basket weaving or whatever the hell it is.
Wait, you ever podcasting to underwater basket weaving?
I'm saying there's a large spectrum.
Show me that bridge.
They don't have to a podcast.
Everyone is sweating.
On underwater basket weaving.
Right.
I like it.
Yeah,
That's all I wanted.
And so when you have all this free time where you're not going out and doing the stuff you normally do, it's like, well, fuck it. I guess I'm going to do the thing that I've been putting off all this time. So
right. And this has given me a lot of time to go back and really like dig my teeth into a lot of the horror that I've missed and look at, like, you know, the different tropes and different unbelievable like practical effects that, you know, was big in the 80s and all these other fucking like genres that I've just never had time to get into. So I'm curious for you guys, like, you know, be it video game or TV show or film, what has been the thing that this unfortunate year has actually given you the time to sink your teeth into and get into?
Furious masturbation.
Other than that, I thought that was a given.
Yeah, that's just an understandable thing.
Well, there goes my answer.
Oh, well.
No, I mean,
that's everyone's. Okay, look, y'all are going to have to be
right
more creative.
Now, so.
Well,
y'all are going to have to be more creative, because in the realm of Amazon and everything else where we can order all sorts of things that we can see if it can fit or what have you, y'all are going to have to pick a different habit.
Have you met my wife?
But was that in relation to the let's see if we can
find Amazon?
Oh, okay.
Oh, Amazon.
Okay. No, I went to a different place and I was like, does she know? Well,
does she have a YouTube channel we're not familiar with?
That's maybe
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. No. That's not OnlyFans. That's definitely RedTube.
Whoa.
Oh.
Anyways, back to the original comment.
Do not let your wife listen to this episode.
No.
Fortunately, we're not saying that about his wife.
As soon as I say podcasting, she tunes it out anyways.
That's fair.
But I want to know what you guys got into this year.
Honestly, this year has really given, I'll say me personally, like, you know, obviously more time with the boys, because when everything first happened, school stopped. So I had both the boys working from home while Jennifer had to leave the house to go to work.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
At that time. And we've talked about it all year, basically, on Geek Father anyways, where the kids are playing more video games. Mm-hmm. They're doing more. They're wrapped up more in their stuff, like YouTube and other things like that. But I have gotten more time with my children. I've gotten more recently more time with my wife, just because of the sheer fact of me not working, or me being able to work from home, not having to drive somewhere. That shaves hour to 2 hours or more from my day that I could be at home doing stuff for the home.
I am interested to see if that's something that carries over a little bit more into 2021 with a lot of businesses as far as telecommuting goes, because I've also been fortunate that I've been able to telecommute.
Same.
And
for the most part,
there are, for me at least, some major pros to working from home. I'm more productive at home. Now, before we get into the break, which we're about due for here, I do want to make mention about something that has been entertaining for me, at least, as somebody that produces at least an audio show, occasionally video stuff. But I am intrigued by the late night hosts and how their shows have changed.
Yes.
And there's also some things that translate. Like, I think some of those shows, the way they were handled, were done relatively well. I think the daily social distancing show was pretty good. It feels almost more personal, the way that he's doing it from his living room.
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert, I love that his wife is just off camera and he's just like trying to make her laugh the whole time. And that's funny as shit.
Can you talk about his glorious beard?
Oh,
yes. Man.
He gave zero. Oh, God, his beard was great. Yeah. I saw him and I hadn't seen anything of him
legit.
For a few months. And I'm like, oh shit, bro, you need to rock that, dude. That
I think
good.
I think he shaved it now.
The amount of people
that he
shaved it now,
yeah,
unfortunately. But no, it fit him. I don't know, it just worked on him.
Oh, there were a lot of celebrities that were like, I get to grow a beard.
Not all of them looked good with it.
No, I'm saying
he looked solid with that fucking beard.
But
he had.
There are
I'm the only non-bearded person at this table, so you know.
That's true.
But there are things that that do not quite translate without a crowd. And the thing that I think was the most jarring for me to watch was watching professional wrestling with no audience.
Oh God.
So weird.
It's weird, but it's almost good in a different way. It's almost like this weird German, like, art house wrestling match thing going on.
Have you ever watched German Expressionism?
I don't know, but they're expressing something in a crowdless WWE.
Yeah.
Blindly stating German.
Yeah, just something. It's weird, so it's either German or Japanese. It's something. But no,
it's weird.
Give me strength, ceiling.
It's one of those countries who fought in WW2. It's one of them.
Oh,
but,
Jesus.
No, but I did watch some video of wrestling in the early parts of COVID where I think there was like a match with Stone Cold where it's just the announcers and then the wrestlers in the ring and they're doing the standard stuff, but without the crowd cheering, you see how wildly they're moving each other.
Anniversary with Stone Cold. He came out and he was doing his beer thing and everything.
Yeah.
I remember watching him like, no.
He's punching, but you can, because there is.
Do you know
what
they're doing now?
What are they doing now?
Is that you can apply, quote unquote, apply, and it's no extra charge, but they have monitors throughout the whole like little stadium where WWE does all their matches now down in Florida, like their normal building. But people are on their computer, like it's basically a giant Zoom. You see faces in the crowd, but it's all monitors.
So it's gonna be like that episode of Community where people have the convicts have the little iPad that's on a little wheelie system going around to take classes.
Almost.
You get to perform to feedback and crackle like
Well, I will say the one thing that football did, at least at the beginning, they're going to back. I think they went back to that now because of the spike in cases, but where they just had cardboard cutouts in the stands.
Baseball did that,
but
way more.
But they also had fake crowd noise.
Oh. Yeah.
So when you're watching it, it's not like dead silence.
You know,
in WWE, it was like dead silence.
I'm not gonna.
It was bad
that.
For a
not,
while.
Not given the circumstances.
Well, actually, that's part of why I've taken a break from burlesque, because there are a ton of burlesque shows that have adapted and gone online and all that, but like, it's not only am I enjoying taking a little bit of a break, because it may have been going a little hard, and I would like to refocus who I am as a performer, but, you know, taking off your clothes in your living room while your cat stares at you disapprovingly is a whole lot different than, like, hearing the music surround you, getting into that jam, and, like, staring someone you don't know down and being like, taking this off for you, you gonna stop me? And they're just like,
don't judge
no
me,
one I think
cat.
I'm gay now.
Marth.
Yeah. No. Oh yeah. No, that is a real story. And just so you know, if you look a woman in the eyes and say, would you like to hold my sword? She goes, oh God, yes. That is the answer. I also, like, I know nothing of the sport world. I am familiar with the silent WWE, which is interesting, but I got to replay and become far too deeply obsessed with one of the video games that I was hoping would have its sequel this year, which is Hollow Knight. And I'll talk about the sequel that was supposed to be released earlier this year a little later in the episode, but it's been really awesome to have that extra time to dig into the, like, to all the lore in the video game, to see all those levels, to really, like, be a fucking dork and be like, I'm gonna go for this fucking achievement because I want this achievement.
That's what I was getting at with the video games. It's like where I have that little extra time, like, put the kids to bed, and I have that few extra minutes where I can work on that extra level of the game.
Maybe beat your son for once.
Small advantages to the way this year has been.
Yeah. It was a good time to take a break. So when we come back, we'll get back into more conversation about the retrospective on 2020, a little bit about what we're drinking, and all the rest of the crazy. To. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Woo-hoo!
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-winged animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com. We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things 2020 retrospective. Before we get into that, though, we're going to be talking about the sponsors that allow us the funds to make our way through the world of podcasting. First up, of course, is Amazon.com. I'm sure for the month of December, you are utilizing Amazon.com as much as we are this month with all the purchases for presents for your friends and family, especially with all the social distancing and the smaller holiday celebrations that are going to be happening throughout the world. It's easier just to order online and get it shipped to wherever you're supposed to be sending that package in the first place. Amazon.com is definitely helpful in those regards. Just make sure when you're doing that to go through the link at GUIpodcast.com. In the upper right-hand corner, click on Shop Amazon. And that way, anytime you shop Amazon through that link, we get credit for it. We get a little bit of coin for this network. And you get to spend the same amount of money on all your purchases for the holiday season. So that can be your gift to us this holiday is... It's just making sure to go through the link and then shop as normal. And we appreciate it. And it helps us out a lot. Then moving on to a suggestion for you for your wish list for things for the holiday season. Way to get the right presents for everybody on your list in one location. And I'm talking about our store at TeePublic.
That's right.
So many designs.
Y'all didn't get the visual that went with Hobbit's beautiful introduction, but it involves Lowdown caressing the From the Mouths of Madness logo he's currently wearing and
on
then rubbing
nipples.
His nipples.
Yes. That is one of my personal favorite new designs that we have on the website is that you got a new design from the Mouths of Madness a few months back.
Specifically, I'm talking about tattoo artists, artists in general. People aren't getting work, so we're like, hey, we have this idea for a madness design. What would you look as far as it goes,
absolutely
charge for that. So we get something out of it, but also we're also helping some local artists that I still want to be around when this everything fucking starts
that's
over again.
So important. That's part of the reason why during the era of COVID, we've been making sure that all the profits that we get from our sales on TeePublic, we are donating to the Holly Fund, which is a fund that helps out local business workers and businesses during COVID. That are really struggling because of, you know, there's less hours or they've been put out of work because of everything happening or tips are more challenging when you don't have the seating space for people.
And I do want to shout out another, actually, like the newest design created by the Hobbit. It's Live, Laugh, Love as human centipede that I just got.
God.
Along with this shirt that I ordered through Black Friday sale on TeePublic, I also got that in a coffee mug.
Nice.
So I will have nice dark liquid inside a mug that has Live, Laugh, Love. I thought you would enjoy that.
I do appreciate that. Yeah.
I thought it was perfect for a coffee mug. So yes.
And that is a reminder also, it's not just t-shirts. There are t-shirts available, but there's coffee mugs, there's laptop covers, there's stickers, pins, all sorts of stuff available.
Everything but fucking koozies.
Everything but koozies. But you know what? That also brings up that we still have stacks of koozies from our live events. And if you really want to get some GUI koozies for the holiday season, we haven't set up a store to sell those on the site or anything, but all you got to do is shoot us an email. We're happy to work with you if there's something specific. We've got hats, stickers, and koozies available. That
great
aren't
stocking stuffers
available through the T-Public
for the
store.
Year.
Also, we've got to give a shout out as far as local businesses go. We want to definitely shout out to Hell Kitten RVA, our friend Holly, and a number of other creators in the Richmond area. It's almost like a group undertaking.
Oh yeah,
Hell Kitten that are represents a number of different brands, and it's like apothecary. You've got like jewelry, necklaces, and earrings, and soaps, and clothing, and all sorts of
absolutely
pendants, really all sorts of really cool, creepy, kooky stuff. So
and recycled and ethically sourced things with skulls and animal parts too.
True. One of the big things that I like, I forget the exact name of the line, but it's got bees in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is from a working beehive where it's all bees that die of natural causes. Correct. They are not being killed to be put in jewelry. These are the ones that, you know, bees die all the time. And so it's a way to create something beautiful out of the leavings of a pretty little dead insect. And that's why it's really important that we support people like that, that are doing things the right way, that are working their asses off to get an independent business above water during this time. And just in general, it's hard enough just to have an independent business normally.
Shit.
So in the midst of everything going on.
Right? I mean, Jesus.
So yeah, definitely at least give a look to their site, you know, and you might find something, even a little trinket of a thing helps.
Right.
If 20 people do that, then it makes a difference. So let them know GUI sent you and have a look. There's plenty of cool shit. I don't have to sell it really. It'll
sell
itself.
No, you
don't. No.
Yeah, and also Hellkitten is on our links on our website as well. So that's an easy way to track it down if you don't remember hellkittenrva.com.
It's good.
Which also easy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Into the second part of the second half here of the spirits that allow us to lubricate this show a little bit. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
All right.
So we got a few different choices here this evening. I wanted to bring up the reason for my wine choice this evening before everybody dove into it.
Sure.
I haven't drank it yet. I'm waiting.
Yeah, I'm waiting too.
Yeah, this is Cava, a table red dry wine from Greece. And the reason why I'm deciding that this is appropriate for a 2020 episode of GUI, a retrospective, is because of how this wine ended up in the clutches of the studio. The studio is actually attached to a building that has another business in it. And in the neighborhood that we're in, there's a group neighborhood chat on Facebook.
Gotcha.
And our neighbors, our business neighbors, mentioned that a backpack full of wine was on their front porch when they came in to open up the shop one morning.
Whoa.
And they were not sure where it came from. So they were asking if anybody knew what country the wine came from, then to prove that it was theirs, then they could come and pick up this 8 to 10 bottles of wine.
Holy shit.
In this backpack. And so people were just like randomly yelling out countries on the chats and stuff, and they called around to all the local businesses to see if anybody was missing wine, because it was weird that they were pretty much all the same wine. And
and a couple of restaurants right up the road.
Exactly. They were smart and tried to find out if this was stolen or anything, and all of them were sealed properly. You know, there was nothing wrong with the wine, and it's cool enough out that it wasn't like baking in the summer sun or anything.
Oh, God, that would have been terrible.
Vinegar.
Yeah.
So I commented on it being like, hey, if you're not going to take on sweet gifts from some neighborhood wine Santa, then we're more than happy to take those. And then I got a text message shortly after that saying, hey, we left 2 bottles of wine for you in the backyard. So I went from front porch wine to backyard wine. And
nice.
And so at the representation of 2020, why this is such a good representation is because it was trash that ends up being really disappointing once you get into it.
You just killed me.
You should have waited for us to take a sip before you
right.
told us that.
Right.
It's not gross. It's just boring. There's nothing happening with it.
Yeah.
That's bland as hell.
It's really, really... I would have warned you a little more if it was really gross. This is just bland.
Yeah.
There's nothing exciting about it.
No.
I get more from smelling it than drinking it.
I think they looked up the wine and it was something like, it's the best bottle of Greek table red you're going to get under like $5 or something was the tagline.
I would say it's not trash. Yeah.
No. It's still...
Yeah, it's drinkable, but it's not.
And it'll get you drunk, I'm sure. Yeah. But
we'll see. We definitely didn't finish the first bottle, so
I don't want. Yep. I don't want any more of that. Thank you.
Yeah, happy to help. So we do have some actual good choices here for the other shares that we're looking at here.
We've had two actually.
So I got a little excited when I was shopping, so I wanted to bring two, and I brought two at very very opposite ends of the spectrum. One ended up being a lot more summery. The other one is definitively a winter beer. Yes. And the summary one is a local beer. So it is from Vossen Brewing Company and it is the Triple Peach Saison. So I really enjoyed that. It was nice and light. To me, I got a little bit of the peach on the back taste, a lot of honey flavor, that sort of thing. So very much liked this one. It's sessionable, but it's a 6.2 ABV.
It was a true flavored saison, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It was a good farmhouse ale. You had that little bit of stank on it from the particular yeast strain that makes it a farmhouse ale.
Yep.
It's not overly powerful with the flavor from the peach. It's just enough that's there to let you know. And then it's. Yeah, I don't know. It was just a good all round.
Yeah,
the flavor approach is very light handed. I really do like that with fruit flavored beers, especially where they're not making it taste like grape, like juice. Like they
get I don't want to fucking drink juice
unless I'm at the answer. The other one that I have that is like I said, definitively winter.
Boing.
Is one of my favorites. I used to drink it all the time back in the time of the bar. It is the Brooklyn Brewery Black Chocolate Stout.
I love stouts. I love darker beers. It's harder during the summer and the warmer days.
Oh, so,
ew. Yeah, no.
There's something about like, the tone of the time of year that you, like, the darker beers are just for winter.
You want to swaddle yourself in a cloak.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is one because obviously, like, for when we record episodes and stuff, we're hanging outside a little bit more. You can maybe got the bonfire going if you can, if you're doing your social distancing properly. Mm-hmm. And this is just a better taste during this milder weather, you know?
Well, not only that, but this is a 10% ABV beer.
Oh, it's a... So. This goes double digits. This is a dick kicker.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is a dick
officially
kicker.
I think since I'm on the panel and I am, of course, a creature of indeterminate gender, it is a bits kicker.
You call it what you will.
Yeah, I mean, whatever works for you.
I want to put bits kicker because I believe this shit could kick me in the fucking chin if it wanted to.
True.
You know?
But as per the...
I want to call it a button masher then.
I'm fine with button masher. Button masher.
That could be
like
good.
That, especially with the Smash Brothers references.
Yeah.
A button masher. As any genitalia at that point. Yeah. No,
a crotch kicker, if you will.
Yes.
Let's keep it.
That's what the 10%. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
Keep it neutral.
In double digits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
I like it.
But
thank you.
Thanks for letting me bring these.
I feel like we definitely had this on the episodes before.
Maybe year two.
Yeah. Like,
like it was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, Brooklyn has popped up randomly shows.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely a
Brooklyn
favorite.
Has been a great brewing company for many years.
It's been a favorite by a number of the regular panelists and showrunners.
But, you know, this is their winter 2020 brew. And, like, There's been a ton of good stuff that's come out of 2020, and this is one of those things. So I thought it was a great time to bring this and share it with y'all. So
sweet. Well, I appreciate it. This is delicious.
It's always good. I have some every year. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So moving into the 2021 era of podcasting, if you have any beers that you really appreciate, any booze in general that you've really come to know and love, that's reasonably priced. Understand that we are not like rich and famous over here at GUI. Like, we do have a budget when it comes to stuff. Let us know, because we definitely want to try some new stuff, bring some new stuff on the show. And
hell yeah,
we're just as open to suggestions as we hope you are getting suggestions from us on these episodes, and not just PBR, which is like
that was a staple for like the first like 50 to 100 episodes.
Anything Hunter's on
almost always a PBR somewhere on the table when we record.
I was about to say 99% of the time.
Pretty much,
yeah.
The People's Beer of Richmond.
That's right.
Getting back into the actual subject matter here of the episode here is the 2020 in retrospect, and we've glanced a little bit about the nature of using online for creators to get an audience to watch their stuff.
Right. For years, living in Richmond in the quote unquote punk scene, that was always about like the independent artist, the do-it-yourself type. You
DIY,
support.
Man. Richmond's DIY as fuck.
Hell yeah. And and that's one thing you've always supported. 2020 has just reinforced that like a monster.
But it is also it is a challenge, though. And I want to kind of get your guys' thoughts on this as well, is that as much as I do want to support local or just like bands that I really like or entertainers that I really like, it is challenging to sit down and watch a stream of a live event without a crowd. And because normally even on their YouTube page, there's old concerts they did where it's there's something about the live element that it makes
the
it
crowd.
A different animal.
The crowd.
Completely.
Yeah.
How about I would 100% agree. Like my level of where I'm talking about as far as support local is, do I want to support local bands? Yes, I do. Is there a huge, huge separation? I'm not talking about a degree. I'm talking, there's probably like 8 degrees of separation when it comes to watching these bands play to emptiness. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's so many other ways you can support local that is also Richmond. I mean, dude, we just talked about the Weapons of Madness on the plug. Like, local tattoo artists, like, talk to them about personal art that you want, mm-hmm. and then you own it, and you can do what you want with it. Talk about, your local restaurants. When you're ordering out, don't look at the chains. Look at the fucking small dude who is still doing curbside or still doing utilizing Grubhub and stuff like that. That's what I'm talking about. I'm like, I have ordered so much food from just all the restaurants that I love because I want them to be here when I can go enjoy them on their patio.
Right.
That's what I want.
That's especially with the restaurants, man. This is such a great restaurant scene in town. And
it really fucking is.
This was a food city, dude.
We've already lost a number of businesses, and like, I'm not shitting on the ones that have fallen by the wayside in 2020, but they were just not ones that I specifically had like a regularity of visiting.
Yeah,
it's personal preference.
So absolutely. And so I'm not saying they're better or worse than anything, but there's some that I will be utterly wrecked if they don't make it.
Yes.
To 2020.
Yes, I agree.
Hands fucking down. Now, on a slightly larger scale, if it's all right, if I take it there for a minute, I've noticed that there have been a large number of conventions that have gone digital as well. Mm-hmm. I haven't partaken of that, but I've seen a lot of interesting reactions to that where they're still hosting panels and all of the things that they would normally do. Like it's an interesting way of doing the dealer's room where it's almost like you're going to like different auctions and things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool to see how they've innovated these large scale things to still try to be accessible to still capture some of that.
It's less smelly. The regular car.
There
too.
Look, man,
motherfuckers at con.
I wore deodorant today.
Shower.
There's a, like we're gonna survive COVID because we have all dealt with con crud before because people at cons don't wash their fucking hands.
Right. Oh my God. Very true.
Yeah. Hands are the least of the issues.
I got one up on you guys. I've dealt with con crud and manufacturing crud, so I feel like with the chemicals I breathe on a daily basis, I think I'm good.
Well, and to go on what Murphy was saying, I was going to bring it up at one point as well, too, where I'm going to say specifically GalaxyCon, who GalaxyCon, for whatever reason, brought GUI into the fold.
Yeah.
Two years running.
Their fault. We've been able to have some live stuff there at GalaxyCon.
Which has been a blast.
Absolutely. I cannot give props enough to GalaxyCon. But for what they specifically have done to promote still celebrities being there to do the Q&As like you would normally see at the con, the one-on-ones that they offer, you got to put a few bucks out, but everybody's still trying to make, if you want GalaxyCon to be here in a normal convention setting next year or the year after, however it's going to be, we got to continue to support even a group like that as well.
And I agree. It was an offhand statement that I heard about GalaxyCon, but they're invested in making this a regular thing in Richmond.
We dealt with
Wizard World coming in, and they had a 3-year contract.
Fucking Wizard World, and they kind of
phoned in the last like one because they wasn't showing enough return quick enough. I don't feel like we're getting that from GalaxyCon. They are committed to Richmond.
Talk to some people that are involved with GalaxyCon. They're like, We're going to invest to build because you know it takes time to build a base.
Yeah.
And they've done it in Florida. They've done it in multiple places.
This was pre-COVID.
Yes.
This is pre-COVID. COVID has challenged every single con franchise.
Yeah. Anything convention-wise, period. Yeah.
On that plus side, like, I have noticed people, like, they've really brought it as far as, like, doubling. There's a ton of people that are really, like, getting in there with their marketing online. Like, I get emails from GalaxyCon about, like,
we're doing this, we're doing that. We got this live stream. Right.
Great about reaching out to different people. Like, so many people, in my opinion, this year have taken such initiative that I fucking love it. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, there are some days where it's fucking tough to get out of bed, but you know what? There are also days where we get up and you're like, you know what? Today is the day I reach out to the entire fucking world, and it's great.
Yep.
The first half of the year, I think this is what it's going to be still. Like, I don't see any difference in anything going into 2021 with cons and everything like that, you know?
Well, and even different than cons, like, props to Kevin Smith mm-hmm. or whatever it is for the movies pop-up stuff.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That they've been doing. Not only, I mean, the pop-up stuff would still be happening, but they have followed so much protocol,
mm-hmm.
but still
you have
been
to.
Yeah, well, you have to, but they've still been allowing where people can still come enjoy the event.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there at times, and where you're still getting the experience that you would have, just honestly, let's agree where it's a little bit better, where it's just less people.
Mm-hmm.
That's
true to that.
Honestly, like, so one of the things that I think is cool, like, so I'm going to talk about two separate things real fast. I'm going to do one real fast and the other one. So one, like, okay, not super involved in GUI, but the Great British Baking Show. You know, that's...
I watched that with the wife.
Oh, fuck, I love
that.
Damn,
it's a good show.
Also, it has Noel Fielding.
Yeah.
Can we talk about everyone has their own awesome position in that show? And it's so good.
That show also has my fucking doppelganger on it.
I don't know about...
No, okay, I had several people message me that, was it Mark L? This was one of the contestants that he was in either this season or last season.
I know who he's talking about.
He had like kind of fluffy hair, but he looked, I mean, I get it. Like, I get it.
You guys could be brothers.
I think he's Irish.
For real.
Oh my God. What a fucking shock. Irish dude looks like you?
I know. But he was very sweet, and all the other contestants really liked
him. Everyone on the Great British Baking Show is sweet.
Norwegian guy who looks just like you.
Yeah, weird, right?
Wait, hold on.
But the thing, like, they have, instead of people going home, they've constructed a village for their contestants to live in. And so they've, like, while they're, like, quarantining together, they've really gotten to bond in a different way. And it's kind of cool.
They're doing the show, and they just have to live there while they're doing the show.
Right, they've made cool like a little village.
I haven't watched the new season.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
We haven't watched it, but like, I got into that because the kid and the wife likes it, and I'm like, they're making some delicious looking shit.
Oh my God, yes, yeah. I can't even.
And the diversity that comes on that show too is pretty rad as fuck. I'm just gonna say, they're very diverse. Holy fuck!
Yeah, I just pulled up a picture of Mark L.
Can you please dye black again
what
and just grow it?
Fuck!
No,
sorry.
He's had black hair before. He did not do it like that. You need to grow your hair.
No, that's
and
just darker
black.
Hair. That's not black, but
it's like dark brown.
That
dude.
Broke me a little. Okay.
But yeah, that's
you're talking
eerie.
Me with semantics. That's dark brown. He's semantics over here.
That is eerie. How much? That's Mark.
It looks
Mark Lutton.
It looks a lot like you. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But one of the things that like I've been thinking of like 2020, like in terms of like cooking, this is our simmer phase. Like everything is just like bubbling and boiling, and so they're like, okay, so when we get all these things meshed together and they're just doing it, like learning how to do everything better, like they know how to do stuff remotely,
mm-hmm.
they know what they want, they're taking a little bit longer to like really refine these things, and they're like, you know what, we've got this time, let's tune everything, let's get everything up. And I think like when stuff starts coming back, it's gonna be like a punch in the face that I fucking asked for.
Right.
I can agree with that. I think I see that. I think we've already seen some of that now.
Yes.
And that people that just already had shit waiting, and then it was just so quick for them to just to alter it, and then they're bam, it's like here's your fucking
or bands that haven't been together in forever decided like, well, I mean, we don't have to travel because no one is. Let's just work remotely with each other and get some other shit out. And we've got like reunions of bands happening or bands that haven't released shit in years that are releasing stuff.
Yeah, one of the other things that, like, it was a tidbit, but, you know, I fucking love Neil Gaiman and I love Terry Pratchett, and they did a great job with the Good Omens series.
Fuck yeah, they did.
And one of the first things to hit when things shut down was David Tennant and Michael Sheen released. It was just a voicemail between Aziraphale and Crowley discussing, like, how they were going to handle quarantine and what they should do and if one of them should come over and this, that, and the other. And Aziraphale is like, no, you shouldn't do that. And he's like, fine, then I'm going to sleep. You know, that sort of thing. But it was just like a lovely little tidbit.
And of course, he says it in a way like, well, I really want to hang out with you, but fine, I'll just go to sleep. You
right.
know, because he's totally just like not acknowledging that it hurt his feelings.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Like, I am team Eternal Boyfriends. You know?
Dude, like, they are the cutest fucking couple.
Oh, my God.
They're the cutest non-acknowledging couple.
We say non-acknowledging, but if you... Okay.
Show they do, but in the book they don't as much.
It's
they
a little less, but it's drier because Terry Pratchett had a little bit more direct input and his humor is a little drier than Neil Gaiman's.
Like, I feel like they could have told the story differently, mm-hmm. more true to form. I feel like they cut out some of Gaiman's darker stuff.
Yes and no, but the thing that was most important to me that they kept is that the thing that caused them to triumph was that the Antichrist, instead of being either good or evil, was human, and that humanity is what caused them to triumph. And I think that this relates directly to the things that is going on now, is that, you know, us being human and being human together is what's going to help us through this.
Oh, 2021, every one of you fucks,
we gonna bring it.
Respect your fucking neighbor, respect your fucking family, respect everybody. Humans come together. Like, none of us love this shit. I feel like most of us hate this shit, but us hating it and then, but also still acting upon the proper thing is going to get us through this.
Like, your move is to like hate fuck people audibly into loving their fellow man.
Hey, dude, that's what got me into it.
That's
I'm
how
just
he
saying.
Loves.
That's
yeah, right?
how I love, dude. I'm
so
like,
he shows
look,
affection.
Like, I don't, like, look, you guys listen to me, GUI, long enough. You know, Lowdown's my perspective on things. Like, look, it comes down to it's just coming down to survival mode, bro. Like, stop being fuckheads. Fucking, well, love your fellow man. Do your thing. Do what you need to fucking do, and we'll come out of this. Why is America so behind all this bullshit?
And
I'm sorry.
I can't
hold that back.
If you want to take away, like, the personal opinions on how effective everything is, take that completely out.
Yes.
And look
yes.
at the actions that are going to happen mm-hmm. based on infection rates.
Right.
And look at that very specifically.
Look at the data. The strict data.
Opinions on whether it's correct or not out of the window, because this is how it's happening. So, and your opinion about it isn't going to change that. So
exactly.
Look at what the CDC suggests, how it's going to be handled. Walking around without your mask.
That's why I need him.
contributing to higher transmission rates is going to shut down businesses. See? It's going to end more businesses.
Right.
If people are washing their hands, wearing masks, being mindful, social distancing as much as possible, having your little pods of people, sure, which even CDC's like, nah, and people are like, oh, give us this, fuck.
Give us one little fucking thing.
I need to touch someone.
No, Hobbit can speak Lowdown better than Lowdown can speak Lowdown. So, no, that's exactly what I was fucking saying. He knows where I was at.
He's the Aziraphale to your Crowley, and that's what I'm fucking saying.
Oh my God.
Nice.
I feel warm and oozy inside.
Good, that's what I aim for. And yeah.
No, but Hobbit, you said everything I wanted to say in a better way for everybody, because I'm just like, why are you being so fucking stupid? You're like, no, data, stop being stupid.
I looked at the numbers. Actually, I posted on my personal page this week is that we're at new records of transmission
cool.
and new numbers of deaths, that there are over 3,000 people a day dying.
Yeah.
Which means that in 8 days in the United States, there will be more people that die than last year from the flu.
That's right. Brutal.
That'll crush the whole argument of the flu thing.
I feel like anybody that's still using that argument is just not paying attention to what's happening.
That was my point as well, is that the initial argument for this whole thing was like, well, you know, you look at percentages or things compared to the flu, it's beyond the flu at this point.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you think it should be.
Is it okay if I massively derail? Because I really want to look to the future for a second.
And, no, you know, we are getting towards the end, and actually I appreciate that, because we don't need to have more COVID conversation. Yeah. Anything we're saying, people that are listening have said or heard some version of
that's
it before.
True. That is true.
We have these conversations.
It's so hard to not have those conversations.
Well,
though,
I mean, we're living it. So obviously we've got, because it affects everything we're doing.
Yeah,
but the thing that I want to know, like, there's so much to look forward to. And that's so fucking cool, because there's so much that's getting refined.
I think that's a perfect way to end this episode for sure.
And
yeah.
Two of the things that I am most looking forward to is that the eventuality of Naya da Costa's Candyman is coming out, plus Jurassic World.
Giggity, giggity.
Okay.
Yep.
Giggity,
Jurassic World Dominion, because, I mean, y'all have heard me on dinosaurs. We
and
don't need to go
ended,
into that.
The way they ended the Jurassic World.
Not a big fan of that last one, but also it did set up some really interesting choices.
It set up this.
Has
yeah.
dinosaurs.
It set up this.
Yeah.
It has dinosaurs, and that's why I'm going to watch it, and that's what's the honest truth. The other thing I'm stoked about is Hollow Knight Silksong, which takes a character from the first Hollow Knight game that it plays a big role within the game. And if you haven't checked it out, I would highly recommend looking into it. It's a great game. It's a platformer with a ton of lore. It actually does require skill to play, like, you know, and it gives you time to refine as you go. And it gives you some really solid achievements and different styles of play are allowed for. But Hollow Knight Silksong is coming up with starring Hornet, which is a character that you see within the first one. And holy shit, I'm not going to... You know what? I'm wet. I'm ready for it.
Is that the absorbent seat or is that...
Well,
like
I was about
puddle?
To say... Should
I
we
wore
get
leggings.
A, should we get a towel or something for over there?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Oh, no.
The streaming apps are definitely adapting to what people need for at home, for being home more. Use it for what you can.
Is there something on streaming that you're really stoked about?
Cobra Kai season 3, Orville season 3.
Oh, yeah.
HBO Max honestly has a shit ton of stuff, and they even made the announcement that anything they release in 2021, not only will it be in theater, but it will be automatically
well,
the same day.
Warner Brothers.
Well, Warner Brothers. Yeah,
through
Warner
HBO Brothers. Max.
Through okay. HBO Max. Will any of the movies or anything that they release theatrically?
So that's going to be Dune. That's going to be
Dune.
I think Suicide Squad is
October
under
21st,
that.
October 21st, 2021.
And basically any DC,
all DC
live action.
Is going to just yep. stream on HBO Max.
Right.
I think they were smart with that because there's a lot of subscribers to HBO. And let's face it, DC is... Yeah, Scotty, you did mention it. Cobra Kai Season 3. I'm so fucking stoked for that.
Hell yes.
I can't wait for that. I'm happy that we're getting a Season 3 of Cobra Kai through this insanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
honestly. And also... Stranger Things season 4 is still happening. I'm
yes.
so stoked for that. Coming from another perspective, it just got released earlier this week. Concrete Cowboy it got landed on Netflix. It's coming in 2021.
Nice.
So that's Idris Elba and Kayla MacLachlan. So cool. Kayla MacLachlan,
yep.
if you don't know,
yep.
is Stranger Things. Idris Elba, if you don't know Idris Elba, just go look at a movie.
Don't watch yeah. Cats to
a
see Idris Elba.
Oh,
if you see
God.
A beautiful black dude. Outside of Cats, it's Idris Elba, probably.
Right.
I never...
Go watch Hobbs and Shaw. I don't know what to tell you. Idris Elba's fucking...
Hobbs
awesome.
And Shaw. Oh, I just watched
The Wire.
The Losers.
It's all on Amazon.
So Idris Elba is your Jay Baruchel.
Yes.
He is a beautiful black man.
I mean, I agree. They, like,
yeah,
I'm not...
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not going to argue that as much as you argue fucking Jay Baruchel with me.
Because
so.
He's not a beautiful white man.
I don't see color when it comes to my man crushes.
Okay. So I've got The Rock, who's my beautiful Samoan hunk of meat, and I've got... Idris Elba is my beautiful chocolate British deliciousness. That's how that goes.
Oh, this is so... I love you talking about your man crushes. So nice.
And he is totally dry humping himself under the table right now.
I know you're The Rock, whatever. And Idris Elba, like, I love Idris Elba. He's awesome.
My partner and I have a rule that if one of us gets to kiss Tom Atkins, that we should go for it.
Ooh.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
For me...
Yeah,
Tom
he says
Hardy. I would totally make out with Tom Hardy.
All right, fair.
All right. I'm sorry, I would.
Ooh, isn't okay. he? Isn't he in gorgeous. The... upcoming like Venom and Carnage movie. It's Henry
yes.
Harrelson.
It got moved. Yeah. It didn't get moved, but it was always scheduled for 2021. But let's see if the filming lets it happen in 2021.
Well, was 2020 supposed to be also the Morbius movie as well?
Yeah,
it was a pushback.
Okay. That was a pushback.
So that's
there's
what
a lot of
and
shit
not,
that got moved.
Not just
yeah.
the HBO Max stuff that we were talking about that will be from Warner Brothers that they're releasing both in the theaters and at home. Which honestly, I'm relieved. It means that they know that they're going to have to be making other movies and they don't have time to release them all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Just get these things out. We're losing money by not having them out in the
right,
world.
Right, exactly.
Getting bought on Blu-ray
just
or whatever.
Just sitting in storage doesn't
yeah.
do anything.
Doesn't,
no.
Doesn't make them
yeah.
any money. So
and it's actually
going to
hurt the theaters.
AMC released a statement on it. They are not happy.
We're speaking regionally, though, with Virginia. Regal is our big theater chain. And
yeah.
I'm telling you, whoever the fuck who has any power that listens to this, which... probably is nobody, but the further you push releasing shit, the keeping theaters closed, you're not going to have a theater to fucking release to
right.
when you need to. Okay? I'm just saying, like, theaters did their COVID. They released capacity like 30% just to give space for everybody. They're doing what they're supposed to do to give people space. Like, if you don't release shit so they can actually make money, you're not going to have anybody released to, and you're going to be without even more money.
The one time I went to a movie in the past year or so, Groots and I went to see Bill and Ted
Ooh.
3. At the register now, you have a screen that pops up with the seats. It looks like a checkerboard because they blocked out seats.
Well, that was the same thing they did
nice.
With... I mean, prior to that, you could still pick your seats at...
But what I'm saying, they blocked out, which is proper...
It's... complicated.
It is.
Because I know that I'm definitely...
Everything's complicated, though.
I'm definitely a little bit uncomfortable in some ways, depending. It's very case by case about being indoors in public places. You got it with, like, grocery stores and shit, of course. Like,
right.
you got to buy food. You know, with indoor stuff, there's only been a couple times that we've gone to a venue of some type because we heard that they were doing really well with like socially distancing and stuff. And when you get to your table and stuff, there's like a relief of like, okay, this isn't bad, but it's still, you have this like overlying kind of a discomfort.
Yeah.
I do wonder about the movie theaters, because when I pass like Movie Land,
yeah,
occasionally, there's like 8 cars in the parking lot. And I go, if that's all there is in there, then I would have like an entire theater myself and I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. So this leads me to one of the things that I am really fucking stoked about, is that drive-in movie theaters are making a fucking comeback.
No shit.
Yes.
Holy
no
shit.
And we have one.
I know.
We only have one.
But fucking Movie Land, every time I see the backlot, I'm like, just build it. Just build the outdoor fucking screen. Give it to me.
They have a
Give
huge
lot. I will beg like a fucking college student trying to pay their goddamn tuition for that fucking
screen. I thought you were
going
to say for sex. Like,
that's how you pay tuition, Hobbit.
Don't beg for sex. They just
have
sex.
Give it away freely.
It depends on the college student.
Yeah. But no.
Some of us are rougher than others, Stephen.
You still got it for free, though.
I mean, that's because I didn't know the vagina going rate was.
you weren't looking at the day trading.
No, I don't really keep up with the vagina stock market or with the booty stock market, which I really should, because you know I hear that those things are pretty far up.
The difference is that there's only one of those that you get really excited when it drops.
The bass. Boom. Sorry.
Yeah, so he's had two. I mean, that was good.
Yeah.
Like,
fair enough. Yeah.
He's got two, but how do you feel about when it pops?
I mean, I'm good.
Can
I'm
you
pretty
handle
wide
it?
Open.
Can you handle when it pops?
When it pops like this, yes.
Are you sure?
When you pop that pussy.
Yeah. Mm.
You sure?
Once I'm you pop, right. Can't stop.
I hate you for using a Pringles joke on a vagina.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But, I mean, it's the same
hate
thing.
Hate love, same thing.
It's,
yeah.
Same, it's fine.
How much do you put your fit? Never mind.
Do you really want me to answer that question?
Yes, I want to know.
No,
I should.
Pringles
ask.
Is basically
know.
A cardboard uterus full of potatoes. So.
Okay.
Wow.
No, I'm going to repeat. I'm going to repeat this.
Wow.
Pringles is basically a cardboard uterus full of potatoes. And while that
nice
does
already?
Describe my sex
nice.
Life.
What did you do?
Nice.
What did you do?
I'm sorry. I'm jumping the gun on
save,
you.
Save that for gun. Deeply upsetting.
No. Okay, so, I want it now.
So to finish the episode, I want to state that there is going to be a massive amount of arts that we're going to be able to enjoy. Sports, arts, like entertainment that requires crowds or participation in some way, shape, or form.
Ooh,
yes.
When we get to the point at some time next year where vaccines are readily available, the vast majority of people have had access to it at one point or another, when we can start beginning to exist as we used to.
Dude, the melding of all the things we've learned
we're
is going
to
be
go
so
back
fucking
to existing
cool.
Like we should. Dude, humanity is not meant to be alone and quarantined.
True,
humanity
correct.
Is a social fucking race.
Yes, right.
That is the race. So we're going to get back, and I'm going to say, folks, don't expect in the first half. I'm looking more the second half. That's where my mind's
sometime,
at.
Early to late summer.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at.
The wheelhouse we're looking at.
But we will get back to normal, and we will all be better for it.
Honestly, I think it's just going to be so fucking cool when we can meld everything that we've learned about all the remote stuff and all the virtual stuff with all the physical
Rats
stuff.
Fuck, right?
Holy
Rats.
Shit, dude.
Fuck,
this
right?
is going to be so... This is going to be the future we were fucking hoping for. You know, knock on fucking
Conventions
skull here,
are going to be a lot more fun when you can start combining the technologies.
Speaking of good stuff, if you like anything that you've heard on this episode or previous of Geeks Under the Influence, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe. You can do that anywhere you get your shows, any podcast catcher app, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, what have you. And make sure to rate and review where you can. Tell your friends. The easiest way to get bigger numbers as a podcast is from word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
This is all grassroots. We aren't spending
Absolutely.
Money on advertising. So we need you as a listener, as a fan, to tell people about us. Post on social media. The algorithm for Facebook is weird now that if we post as a page, there
stupid.
Are far less people that are going to see it than if you as a just a listener, as a fan, post a link to our shows.
Right.
More people are going to see it that way. So we appreciate all the time and energy that you put in to listen and enjoy the show. And for that alone, we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
If you have it in your hearts to subscribe, to write a review on Apple Podcasts, to share it with friends, that's a gift we can't return. Like,
we appreciate
besides,
it regardless.
There's nothing we can do besides keep giving you
just
content.
Just keep giving content. Yeah. But it's the best thing that you could do for us, and we would appreciate it greatly. So that,
yep.
That's all that we ask. If you have the time to do so, we would appreciate it greatly. I want to thank my panelists for being on all the shows that you have been, not just this one, just all the shows that you've been part of, the showrunners here, for putting all the time and energy into your own shows.
And
so I'm the only person here that doesn't run a show on GUI, and
yet.
Yet. We'll see.
You are prime.
Look, yeah. we'll see.
Are,
but
you've been
I want to say, and I'm sure that I know, look, I know that there are other people that feel the same way that I do, is that listening to this podcast has been one of the things that has been able to help me through this time, because it feels like hanging out with my fucking friends no matter where I am.
Oh,
and for that,
damn it.
I fucking love you guys. Even when you do crazy things, even when you say shitty things, I don't fucking care. Be nerdy, be you, be wonderful, and thank you for making this fucking
podcast.
And
you are one of the many reasons why we keep doing this.
Yeah. That is all we ever want to hear from anybody who listens to GUI. It's just like, no, you guys could be brazen, you guys could say some fucked up shit, but it's never a place from hate. It's just like, I love you guys.
Support like this
thank
is why
you.
We keep going.
Well,
thank you.
I had this conversation with a friend recently about
thank you.
The motivations that people have to be an entertainer in some way, shape, or form, whether it be, you know, writer or singer or whatever, or even podcaster. And I feel like there's two different modes that people get into. There is the one that needs the spotlight on them.
Yeah, fuck that.
It's like,
yeah.
Hey, everybody
fuck
look
that.
At me.
Right.
Yeah. I think there's a small percentage of that in all entertainers, but there's also the other side of it, of people that just want to create and mm-hmm. want to entertain.
Yeah.
You know, that they
yeah.
get joy out of making people laugh. I prefer the second. Mm-hmm. I prefer to look at myself as someone that just does this because I enjoy bringing joy to people. Like, I enjoy, you know, creating
absolutely.
Something and being part of it. So I feel like most of the people on the network and our regular panelists are of the same mindset, where it's fun to do something, to create something and put it into the world.
Right.
I
mean,
it takes all of us to do that.
Right.
Every fucking episode GUI does wouldn't fucking matter if it wasn't for everybody on the episode. Everybody. It's all inclusive. Everybody's input is what makes GUI flow.
And especially for 2020,
everybody's.
How we've adapted and grown.
Scotty,
yeah.
you got it. We've adapted and grown so hard as a network, as individual podcasts.
Friends, family.
As friends, as family.
Community.
Everything. I mean, basically,
absolutely.
We've become the embodiment of what I love to say is Richmond. Like, it's family, it's friends,
absolutely.
It's supporting, and
it takes a village to make dick jokes.
It does.
It does.
Damn right.
And Star Wars jokes.
And Star Wars jokes.
Star Wars.
Yeah. Sorry, yes, Star
don't
Wars.
Don't forget
jokes.
The fart jokes.
All I'm saying is that everyone has their own individual reason for wanting to do this, but at the end of the day, none of that matters because it all goes to supporting each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have preached this since day one starting Geek Father, that this is a community, it's one tribe. Mm-hmm. We cannot do this unless we have the right support, the mm-hmm. right people
unity,
here
man. Unity, man.
With us arm in arm.
We need unity.
Absolutely.
That's what we need. And if you haven't figured that out throughout by now, please figure this out for this episode. It is unity that will get us through all this shit.
I've said it time and time again on this show over the years, is that that old trope of as the tide rises, so do all the boats in the harbor. Is that
yes? No, exactly. That's the same.
Is that
yes? God damn it!
Did I translate lowdown again?
You did. You're like you made it sound better. Like that's what I was trying to say, and Hobbit just made it sound.
When
better.
We do live shows again, we need
it.
To do that where it's like
lowdown gets all blah,
like
blah,
where
blah,
Obama
blah,
is translated by.
He's your anger translator.
I'm your anger translator.
Thank you.
There you
no,
go.
I need that.
That works.
It was like,
you
motherfuckers are fucking up. It was like, I have some thoughts.
I'm like, you motherfuckers are fucking. What the fuck is wrong
allow
with
me
you?
To elaborate.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, Hobbit just said it. Like, we need to all rise together.
Yeah,
like,
right. Absolutely.
Oh, God damn it.
And I
fuckers still don't understand that.
I'm still astounded by the number of people that are regular panelists or come to the live events when we were able to do them and when we will do them again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because it's going to fucking happen. It's going to happen with fucking...
The number of people that threw their hat...
Happen.
The number of people threw their hat in the ring to start their own shows under the network and then did the fucking work. That
yes.
when I was like, I can't do the editing, you gotta... And then took the time to learn the editing, to like get it figured out, to learn how to post their own episodes, like did everything to kind of A, take it off my shoulders, but B, just become a showrunner.
And
like,
show the initiative.
Yeah.
Like, I've talked to people about that. It's like, dude, you just show the initiative. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, no, you did all the things. Like, oh, I just thought I did what I was supposed to do. It was like, you did, but that shows the initiative because you did what you were supposed to do.
No shit.
And that's how we're going to continue and push all of our friends, and, all the local businesses, into 2021.
Cheers.
So make sure everybody stays strong. Stay healthy. Wash your fucking hands. Wear a goddamn mask.
Wash
support
your ass.
Local. You know
what? Be ballsy where no one else is fucking ballsy. Say what doesn't go. What goes unsaid. GUI.
No,
we question everybody.
I know what you're saying. At the end of the day, you've got to find your voice, and when you do, you're going to be absolutely astounded at how many people are excited to listen.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Fuck
that. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Aserophel and Crowley.
Yeah, right.
What you guys really don't see right now is them jerking off each other under the table.
Dry jacks.
It's beautiful, really.
It's the powerful dry jacks.
It's the scary ones that might cause permanent damage. Yeah.
Aren't those the best?
His dick's got a little more crooked.
This is already going into night, so let's cut it here and finish this episode of Geeks on the Influence, this supersized version. Thank you so much. for listening to this episode. There's going to be a Nights that comes out after this one, and then there might be another little special thing that we throw out on the stream before the end of the year. But, you know, going into the holidays and maybe the first week, maybe two of 2021, we take that time off.
Yeah.
So we can just kind of take a breather for a minute.
Yes.
And so take a listen to old episodes, or, you know, take a listen to some other shows on the network that you haven't really taking the time to check out.
That's actually perfect. Yeah, there's 10 shows under the network. Take some time and check out Beautiful Disasters, Geek Father, From the Mouths of Madness, Smack My Pitch Up, Deeply Upsetting. There's so many shows.
So many shows.
Check it out. Seriously, check them out if you haven't yet.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll find you in 2021 with more episodes of Geeks Under the Influence. Thank you for making 2020 a little bit more bearable.
Thank you.
By following us. We'll find you next time. I'm Mike the Hobbit. Join us or die.
I know you got a point, Hobbit, but shut the fuck up.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIPodcast.com.
Yes, take the fat one.